Well, brothers and sisters in Christ, as always, grace and peace to you from God, our Father, and our Lord Jesus. Amen. You know, throughout the Gospels, we read about people encountering Jesus. Some of them walk away sad, disappointed, discouraged, but others walk away with the unique and new ability to walk, to leap, to talk. Some walk away with the ability to clearly see for the very first time. And others walk away free from demonic powers, from demons that possessed them. And now they have a new outlook on life. If we were to go back through history, through the course of history, we will never encounter a man who has changed so many people's lives than Jesus of Nazareth. He has done it 2,000 years ago, and he continues to do so to this very day, changing the lives of those who he encounters or those who encounters him. Over the last 2,021 years, people have been encountering this man known as Jesus. And for the most of those people, their lives have never been the same. Well, today I want to talk about a man named Simon, or Peter as we've grown to know him by. He was one of those many who encountered Jesus one day and his life has never been the same since. Simon, or Peter, lived right next to Lake Gennesaret, or otherwise known as the Lake of Galilee, or the Sea of Galilee. He was a fisherman. It's what he did. That was his profession. It was what his family did. It's his lot in life to be a fisherman. It was the family business, as it were. And in Luke chapter 5, we pick up the story that after Peter has finished fishing all night and caught nothing, now he's back on the shore washing his equipment, his tools, making sure that they're ready for another night's catch. Jesus then comes along, walks by the shore of the Sea of Galilee or the Lake Gennesaret, teaching. Now, we're not told what Jesus is teaching. He just goes and teaches, and a great crowd of people from every town comes, pressing in around him, hanging on his words. Everyone but one, Simon Peter. Now, it's not that he doesn't care about what Jesus is saying. It's just that he's more interested in what he's doing, washing his fishing equipment, his fishing nets, after a long, fruitless night of fishing. Sure, seeing the crowd that came out to listen to Jesus, we would think that Peter could have said to himself, okay, the nets can wait. I better listen to what Jesus has to say. But that's not what he did. He kept on doing whatever he was doing. Now, as I study and observe our society today, my guess is that there are some people, even among our membership here at Our Savior's, there's some people who are distracted, disinterested in what Jesus has to say into their lives. Yes, there are some who are preoccupied with doing their own thing, don't want to be bothered by what Jesus might have to say, might have to offer to them. Ah, but be careful. Be careful. That's exactly where Peter was at when he encountered Jesus, and his life was never the same again. Peter was just at that point where I'm just doing my own thing, minding my own business, don't want to be bothered with this Jesus guy. But that's when he, in fact, encountered the man known as Jesus, and his life has never been the same. See, Peter wanted to just to live a normal life. We all do. Peter wanted to get his job done. He's got a family. He's got a solid job. He's got a plan. But Jesus is about to mess it all up and change it dramatically. But Peter's not interested in what Jesus is saying. Yet, this very Jesus that he did not show interest in comes into his boat, gets in his life, as it were, and says, hey, let's turn your fishing boat here, Peter, into a floating pulpit so that I could preach and teach to the people on the shore. Picture Jesus floating along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, people clamoring, hanging on every word that comes out of his mouth, longing to hear what he has to say. And Peter reluctantly rows him along the shore. Sure, Peter is obedient. He does what Jesus asked of him. But you better believe he's saying something under his breath, something like, I can't believe he's asking me to do this. After an entire night of fishing without catching nothing, I was just minding my own business, and he comes along and he asks me to do this. I just can't believe this man. Now, I think one of the reasons as to why Peter agreed or said yes or obediently followed what Jesus told him to do is because back in chapter 4 of Luke's gospel, you can go back and read it, Jesus heals Peter's mother-in-law. So Peter probably figured that he sort of owes Jesus one. So Luke tells us in verse 4, and when Jesus had finished speaking, he said to Simon, put out into deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, to Peter, a professional fisherman, what Jesus asked of him must have sounded something like, Peter, I know you're a professional fisherman, but let me teach you how to fish. Yes, Peter, I've just hijacked your boat. I've just ruined your day. I've just robbed you of sleep. And now let me teach you how to do your job. That must have been what Peter heard when Jesus said, put out into the deep water and drop down your nets for a catch. I mean, you can almost feel the offense that Peter must have felt at that moment. Not only that, but Peter, to Peter, the whole thing didn't make any sense. He clearly saw Jesus as nothing more than a rabbi who knew nothing about fishing on the Sea of Galilee. It was ridiculous. Jesus wanted him to get away from the shore, where that's where most of the fish are usually at. And by this time of day, middle of the day, which is the time when nobody fishes because the fish aren't biting at that time of day, he made no fishing sense to Peter. Well, but we know how the story ends. Well, here's what Jesus was doing with Peter. And it might be what Jesus is doing to us, to some of us in our own lives. Jesus is taking Peter away from the noise, away from the busyness of his life, so he can speak to him. This may be for the first time, maybe in weeks or in months, that Peter is at a quiet place in his life. You know, isolation is often the place of preparation. Isolation is often a place where we meet Jesus, or where he takes us into a deeper relationship with him. Now, at this moment in the story, Peter is extremely exhausted. He has fished all night long and caught nothing. Peter is disappointed. Peter is frustrated that Jesus is now telling him to do something that he knows is ridiculous. Doesn't make any sense. He's frustrated that Jesus is telling him to do something that he knows ain't going to work. But sometimes you just need to be exhausted. You just need to be at the end of your rope and take away from and have everything taken away from you in order to hear Jesus' voice and his sense of call in your life. So Jesus issues a command to Peter, put out into the deep water and let down your nets for a catch. Now, Jesus is really pushing it here. You have to sense the weight of Peter's frustration. He's probably thinking, you want me to do what, Jesus? I just got done washing these nets. I'm depleted. I'm exhausted. I'm at the end of my rope. And now you want me to drop them again into the water? You can almost hear Peter muttering under his breath saying, come on. We know how to do our job. We do this every single day. It ain't going to work. It's ridiculous. But instead, that is not what he responds to Jesus. That's not Peter's response to Jesus. Instead, he responds with four words that changed his life forever. If you say so. Yes, Peter is saying, yes, I don't get it. It makes no sense to me. I don't agree. I've got major doubt that this is going to do anything fruitful. In fact, I just washed these nets, and now I'm going to have to wash them again. And my fisher buddies are standing on the shore wondering what in the world I'm doing out here in the middle of the day. But if you say so. Four words that changed the course of Peter's life. It's a reluctant obedience for sure. If you say so. This moment of truth built not around a moment of clarity in Peter's part, but around a step of faith, a leap of faith. And this changes the course of Peter's life, of course. If Peter had said no, we would never read about this story, this event. If Peter had said no to Jesus, then he would not have become a disciple of Jesus. His response was, if you say so, I'll do it. If you say so, these are words of discipleship. Even though we don't always see it, even though it doesn't always make sense to us, makes no logical or rational sense in the least, even though we don't have clarity about what is being asked of us. But I will trust, Peter says. If you say so, I'll do it. I'll trust you. But friends, this type of an interaction with Jesus is certainly not the norm today. Today, most of us will unlikely respond. Instead of, if you say so, we will say, what's in it for me? That is the response of the 21st century of being asked by Jesus or anyone to do anything. Well, what's in it for me? Well, the truth is this. If we are unwilling to do the ridiculous for Jesus, then we will never see the miraculous of Jesus. That is the truth. If we are unwilling to let the nets down after we've washed them in the middle of the day, because we just sense God's calling to follow him, if we are unwilling to do the ridiculous, we'll never see God do the miraculous. You know, I got to share something with y'all. Some in our congregation have muttered and complained and have all kinds of ill feeling about us opening a warming center here in our building due to the cold nights. But once the word got out that we, Our Savior's Lutheran Church, is providing a warming center for those who are without heat, not just the homeless, but anyone who doesn't have heat in their home are welcome to come, the amount of people, member of the community of Victoria, the outpouring of gifts, donations to help our brothers and sisters who are needing to come out from the cold. It was amazing this week. Even the gifts were received from the local mosque to bless us for doing the ridiculous of helping those who need heating, need to be warm from the heat, from the cold. If we are unwilling to do the ridiculous for Jesus, we will never see the miraculous of Jesus. That is the gospel of Jesus. And this step of faith will lead us to a place of absolute astonishment and abundant of blessings. If you say so, if you say so, positions us to step into this place of, I never expected that. If you say so, attitude or response positions us in a place where we are just in awe of the blessing that we benefit and those around us benefits. If you say so, response positions us into a place where we have to confess, this is better than what I was ready for. See, the if you say so life is the grace-filled, the joy-drenched, the abundant life that God longs for us, every single one of us. Now, with that being out there, I need to say that if there is a step of faith in you that you've been resisting, if there's a step of faith that you've been ignoring or that you've not responded to, that you've been resisting, just know that there's a blessing that you are forfeiting when you do that. If there's a step of faith that you're resisting, there's a good chance there's a blessing you are forfeiting. Peter's being moved by Jesus from this place of rationale, from this place of control, of this place of logic, of this place of needing to be clear and make sense before doing something, and to a place of miracle. This place of, I never expected that. But make no mistake about it, Peter's life from this moment on is definitely changed. If you say so, attitude leads him to this place of blessing, leads him to this place of confession, acknowledging that he's a sinful man, and he leads him to this place of being called, of being a disciple of Jesus. Now, he didn't know at first what Jesus was doing. He just knew that he was going to be faithful to follow the call. Well, here's my question for us this week. I highly invite you to pray, reflect, ponder upon it, share it with one another if you will. Is there anything you're resisting that you sense God is calling you into? What does it look like for you to live in a if you say so type of life? And lastly, what are you saying no to that you feel like Jesus is inviting you into? Ponder those questions. Reflect on it. Again, share them with one another if you want to. But address the questions. What are you resisting that God is calling you into? What is Jesus calling you into that you've been putting off? And what does a life of, if you say so, a life of step of faith will call you into being? We'll continue on this topic next Sunday as we talk about what does it mean to be in deeper relationship with Jesus and what does it cause us to do and to be. Until then, God's blessings, mercy, and peace be upon you now and forevermore. Amen.